Now, is modern science simply too complex to be left to the scientists? In 2006, a group of researchers at Duke University in America published what looked like a major breakthrough in allowing more personalized, less debilitating chemotherapy. But two medical statisticians, Keith Baggerly and Kevin Coombs of the University of Texas, reckon they'd found serious problems with the original research. Yet it took them years to bring their concerns to wider attention, by which time expensive and intrusive clinical trials were underway. Eventually, much of the original research was retracted, and one of the Duke researchers accepted responsibility and resigned. But what broader lessons can we draw from the affair? I spoke to Daryl Ince, Professor of Computing at the Open University. Professor Ince recounted this sorry tale in last week's Times Higher Education supplement. He says part of the problem is that the journals aren't keen on publishing negative research which criticizes someone else's errors.
Baggerly approached the editor of a biological journal, and the editor said, "Well, I'm sorry, but it's really a very negative paper." There's this thing about research journals that it's very exciting to announce new results. It's somewhat embarrassing and less exciting to deal with results which don't hold, where you have to retract the papers.
I'm no philosopher of science here, but I thought the whole idea of science was that you put theory and evidence out there and people try and falsify it. So it seems a bit strange to say, well, the papers have been negative, we can't publish it.
Falsifiability or deniability is key to the scientific process. And I think journals should start looking at how they deal with this issue.
You talk about bioinformatic forensics.
Yeah.
The idea that it takes months and months and months to sort of pull apart the data. I mean, to a lot of people, that's going to sound strange. I think a lot of people will imagine there's a research paper, you read the research paper, you check the sums, and, you know, it's either right or wrong. But, I mean, from what you're describing, it's actually a lot more complex than that.
Well, it used to be very simple. You can see exactly what the research is about, where it led, what they excluded, what they included. Now, if you come to the present day, where you have tons of data, lots of software, maybe scientists who are not practiced in writing computer programs, you have problems. And one of the problems that arises is that it's awfully difficult sometimes to get hold of data and to get hold of computer programs. There was a key study on something called microarray technology. This was the technology that was used by the Duke University people. And the study looked at, I think, 18 research papers to see whether they could be reproduced. And what they discovered was that only two of them can be reproduced.
It seems extraordinary. I mean, forgive my naivety, but surely when you publish a paper, surely all the data and the software coding you use to process the data, surely that should all be available.
Well, it should, and it is actually changing. There are many journals, though, that are a distance away from that. Some journals live in another age, where researchers were very collegiate and where they swapped data quite easily, etc. But now we live in an age where universities are becoming commercial entities. What they need to do, I think, is to just move along a bit to the point where data and code is made available and you don't get the publication of your paper unless that's lodged somewhere.
Are you saying also that scientists are just not quite statistically and technically competent enough to process data that these modern research programs are generating?
Well, I don't want to badmouth them, because scientists are highly, highly skilled people, and to expect them to be really good at their own discipline and be able to program a computer and be able to handle the sort of advanced statistics that are needed is too much. There'll be projects where you just don't generate a lot of data, where the stats that you learnt in your undergraduate days are fine, small-scale experiments. But when you're getting to the point where you've got machines which generate gigabytes of data, where there's error in the data, where you get what's called a batch effect, where one run of the machine differs from another run of the machine, then you do need somebody along who can say, well, just stop for a minute and just let's think about the issues about the accuracy of the data.
Professor Daryl Ince of the Open University.